Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, entitled King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices, and verse number 12.
Tam itri atrir Bhagavan iksha. Amuktam Iva Pakhandam.
Amuktam Iva Pakhandam.
Yo Dharme Dharma Vibramaha.
Yo Dharme Dharma
Vibramaha. Tam Atrir Bhagavan Aikshat. Paramanam Vihayasa.
Amuktam Iva
Pakhandam. Yo Dharme Dharma Vibramaha. Tamaitrira Bhagavan Aiksha. Tvaramanam Vihayasa.
Amuktam Iva Pakhandam.
Yo Dharme Dharma Vibramaha.
Word to word meaning. Tam, King Indra.
Atrihi.
The sage Atri.
Bhagavan.
Most powerful.
Aikshata.
Could see.
Paramanam,
moving very hastily.
Vihayasa,
in outer space.
Amuktam Iva,
like a liberated person.
Pakhandam,
imposter.
Yaha,
one who.
Adharme,
in irreligion.
Dharma,
religion.
Vibramaha,
mistaking.
Translation.
When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation. Please repeat after me. When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating. For it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The word Pakhanda used in this verse is sometimes pronounced Pashanda. Both of these words indicate an impostor who presents himself as a very religious person, but in actuality is sinful. Indra took up the saffron-colored dress as a way of cheating others. This saffron dress has been misused by many impostors who present themselves as liberated persons or incarnations of God. In this way, people are cheated. As we have mentioned many times, the conditioned soul has a tendency to cheat. Therefore, this quality is also visible in a person like King Indra. It is understood that even King Indra is not liberated, from the clutches of material contamination. Thus the words amuktam eva, meaning as if he was liberated, are used. The saffron dress worn by a sannyasi announces to the world that he has renounced all worldly affairs and is simply engaged in service of the Lord. Such a devotee is actually a sannyasi or liberated person. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 1, it is said, Anashritaha karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sa sannyasi cha tyagi cha yogi cha na niragnir na ka na cha kriyaha. Translation: one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obliged is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. In other words, one who offers the results of his activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually a sannyasi and yogi. Cheating sannyasis and yogis have existed since the time of Ritu Maharaj's sacrifice. This cheating was very foolishly introduced by King Indra. In some age, such cheating is very prominent, and in other ages, not so prominent. It is duty of a sannyasi to be very cautious because, as stated by Lord Chaitanya, sannyasira alpa chidra sarva loka gaya. A little spot in a sannyasi's character will be magnified by the public. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya, 1251. Therefore, unless one is very sincere and serious, he should not take up the order of sannyas. One should not use this order as a means to cheat the public. It is better not to take up sannyas in this age of Kali, because provocations are very strong in this age. Only a very exalted person, advanced in spiritual understanding, should attempt to take up sannyas. One should not adopt this order as a means of livelihood or for some material purpose. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhujambhavitanam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedadhar Shivasadi Gauravaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Read translation again. When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation. So today we'll hear three points mentioned in this purport by Srila Prabhupada. One is about Pakhandi or Pashandi, imposter. And another one is sannyas, or being sannyasi. And the third topic we'll discuss is provocations of this age of Kali and how to deal with it. So one is about Pakhanda, second is sannyas, and third is provocations of this age of Kali and how to deal with it. I am utterly not qualified to speak on this subject matters, because I myself see these qualities of being Pakhandi in myself. But there is no other way to deal with it except understand about it, and then try to get rid of it by practicing devotional service. There is no other way. Is there any other option to deal with it? No. You know? So, better stick to it and continue devotional service. So, I seek your blessings so I can speak on this subject matter and glorify teachings of Mahaprabhu. In one of the purports, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu mentions, Srila Prabhupada mentions the teachings of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj and elaborately discussed different types of pakhandis. And here Indra is being criticized and labeled as a pakhandi. Why? As Srila Prabhupada mentions that all the jivas in the material world, all the conditioned souls have four defects. Anyone knows what those four defects are? In Sri Shopanishad is mentioned very elaborately. Anyone want to volunteer? Yes, please. What are the four defects? Yes, that is one mentioned in the purport. But what are the three others? Imperfect senses. Commits mistakes. Illusion. And? That will cover all. Stealing your benefit. We have imperfect senses. All the conditioned soul in the material world have imperfect senses. Due to imperfect senses, whatever knowledge we gain is also imperfect. So with imperfect knowledge, we'll definitely commit mistakes. Right? So that is second one. So first is imperfect senses, and then second mistake, defect is we commit mistakes. And out of false ego, we try to cover up those mistakes. So then we'll try to cheat. So that cheating propensity kicks in. So that is third defect. And altogether, we'll become illusion. So that is the fourth defect. So these are the four defects of living entities, conditioned soul. And Indra is also victimized by that. He acted as if he is mukta. He is free from envy. But he is actually amukta. Out of envy, he took the saffron cloth and tried to cheat others. And he foolishly introduced the cheating religion, so-called sannyasis. So here, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada mentions there are eight types of pakhandis. What are those? The first one, one who considers Jiva and Supreme Lord to be the same. And for that matter, that includes demigods as well. Considering Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, although they are very exalted demigods, if one mistakenly considers that they are supreme, or one of them is supreme, then they are called as pakhandi. So first one who considers Jiva and demigods equal to the Supreme Lord is called pakhandi. The second one who does not distinguish between spirit soul and matter, he is also called pakhandi. The third one who worships impersonalist, he is also pakhandi. In that purport, Prabhupada gives example of Dattatreya. So there are some worshippers of Dattatreya. Although Dattatreya is incarnation of Lord, but still he is impersonalist. So those who worship them, they are also called pakhandis. The fourth one who considers body to be the self, he is also called pakhandi. And the fifth one, one who overly absorbed in bodily necessities. One who overly absorbs himself in bodily necessities is also called Pakhandi. The sixth one, one who disobeys the orders of spiritual master, is also Pakhandi. The seventh one, one who rejects the Vedic conclusions, he is also called Pakhandi. And the eighth category, again, repetition, one who considers the demigods like Shiva and Brahma also to be considered as one who considers demigods like Shiva and Brahma as Supreme Lord, he is also called Pakhandi. So, out of this eight, which one Indra falls into? If you have remembered eight of them, then it's easier. So, I was analyzing and then. Exactly. So one who overly absorbed in the bodily necessities, Indra thought that, you know, King Prithu will complete 100 sacrifices and then he will take my post. And what will happen to me? I'll be kicked out. So he's very fond of, Indra is very fond of heavenly pleasures. He's quite passionate. And he is always afraid. Time to time in Bhagavatam we see he commits so many different mistakes. That a Vaishnava shouldn't be doing, but still he does because of his passionate nature. So here he felt that King Prithu will take over his position and he will lose all his bodily comforts and bodily pleasures, materialistic life. So that's why he has been criticized and called as a Pakhandi. So this is about being Pakhandi. No one of us wants to be Pakhandi, right? So let's hear about sannyas. Anyone wants to be sannyasi here? Ideally speaking, everyone should aspire to become sannyasi. Everyone should become sannyasi. There are two ways to look into this subject matter. One is from external point of view. One who accepts saffron cloth, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that the saffron cloth worn by a sannyasi announces that the saffron cloth dress worn by the sannyasi announces to the world that he has renounced all the worldly affairs and is simply engaged in the service of the Lord. So one who accepts sannyas, he wears saffron cloth. That is very common understanding all of us have. And that gives message that he has renounced worldly affairs and then he has totally absorbed himself in service of the Lord. So that is one way of looking into that. And the other way, looking into that, is attitude of a sannyasi. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in Nectar of Instruction in the preface that the advancement of a devotee in Krishna consciousness is depending on the attitude of the follower. The advancement of a devotee in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So he mentions about the attitude. So here we talk about being sannyasi by attitude. So that is another way of looking at it. One is from external and one is from internal point of view. So which is more important? External or internal? Internal is more important. One can be externally sannyasi, just like Indra did, but he acted very irreligiously. So that is not recommended. And that is called acting of being a Pakhandi. Arjuna also got confused in this regard. Arjuna also had similar confusion like many of us have. He is also representing conditioned soul in front of Arjuna. And three times in Bhagavad Gita, in second chapter, in beginning of third chapter, and beginning of fifth chapter, he repeatedly asks the same thing. That Krishna, your instructions are equivocal. It appears that you are saying one thing and same time you are contradicting. You are saying you give up the material world and same time you are saying, you know, you become sannyasi. You fight and same time you are saying you give up. So your instructions are equivocal. Please, clearly give me instruction. Should I take sannyas or should I fight? So he also had this three times, same questions he asked. He also had confusion. And that's where Krishna concludes. Krishna gives him clear indication in the sixth chapter, first verse, that Prabhupada also quoted here. And he repeated the same definition of sannyas in 18th chapter also, beginning of 18th chapter. So what is the real meaning of sannyas? One who is unattached to the fruits of work and who works as he is obliged is in the renounced order of life, that is sannyas, and he is the pure mystic, not the one who lights no fire and performs no work. So being renounced, being sannyas, is not that, you know, you don't perform your duty, you don't perform any work, rather you do your duty and give those fruits of your work for satisfaction of Supreme Lord. That is called being sannyas. So that is the attitude of a sannyasi. So Krishna asked Arjuna to accept attitude of sannyas, be in that attitude and fight for me. You do your duties as a kshatriya and fight for me. So that is real meaning of sannyas. So, by attitude, every one of us should become sannyas. And as far as the externals are concerned, taking the renounced order of life, there are four varnas and four ashramas. So, one of the ashrama is sannyas ashram. So, to take up sannyas ashram is another thing. That should be done according to our psychophysical natures we have acquired from our birth. So one can take sannyas order of life provided his psychophysical nature is suitable for that ashram. Otherwise, one should remain sannyas irrelevant of what ashram they are in. But one should be sannyasi in grahastha ashram, one should be sannyasi in vanprastha ashram, one should be sannyasi like a sannyasi in a brahmachari ashram. And one can be sannyasi in sannyas ashram. And Krishna also mentions in 3rd chapter, 35th verse, that one should not take up others' duty just because they are good in that. But if by their psychophysical nature, if it is not meant for their not meant for them, then one should not take up that ashram, others' duty, although you are good in that. Rather, you should stick to your duties, even if you imperfectly perform your duties in your given ashram, varnayan ashram. So Krishna also cautioned that one shouldn't artificially take up others' duty. In this regard, there is one story I heard recently. There was one Brahmana. He was very poor and his wife would tell him that, you know, please do something about that. We are so poverty stricken. So he said, okay. And then he went to forest one day in frustration. And there he was about to commit suicide, this Brahmana. That, you know, I can't do anything, I'm helpless. And then one sage happened to see him And then they both had exchange. So this sage, by mystic power, he gave him one mango. That okay, this mango has mystic potency, that whoever eats this mango will gain strength, bodily strength. He will never feel hunger. He will be always happy and satisfied and strong and very youthful. So, yeah, take this. And then Brahmana was very happy. So he went to his house and gave this mango to his wife, thinking, let my wife be happy. She is suffering a lot. So he gave it to his wife, and then his wife thought about it. And he said, what about you? You know, I'll be happy, but you'll suffer. That I can't see either. Seeing you unhappy, I'll be unhappy. And then she thought a while, and then she proposed that, you know, let's give this mango to our king. That he is our king, and he looks after all his praja. So he should be given this mango. So Brahmana agreed, and he went to the king. He gave that mango to king and told that this mango came from an old story, potency of the mango. King was very happy. He was very passionate about his life. He was full on materialistic person. So he was very happy, and he accepted the mango, and he gave a lot of gold in the charity to that Brahmana. And Brahmana's lifelong problem solved. And he was happy. He went back. And this king thought, okay, I love my queen. She is so beautiful. Let me give this mango to my queen. So he went to queen and then told his whole thing. And queen said, okay, I will have this. So king thought, you know, my queen will be youthful forever by eating this mango, and I can enjoy her. But then queen thought, she didn't eat. She said, I don't like the queen. You know, I don't like the king, but I like the commander-in-chief. So, here full Bollywood story is coming, you know, like that. So I love the commander-in-chief, so let this mango to be given to him, and he will gain strength, and he will kill the king, and then we will become king, and then we both will enjoy life. So she gave it to commander-in-chief, and then commander-in-chief was thinking, I don't love queen really, no? I love some other woman. And then I'm just flirting with her because of, you know, some political reasons. You know, that I don't love her; she's not good. So he was in love with some prostitute. So he went to prostitute and gave the mango to her, and told whole thing. So that prostitute took the mango, but then she started thinking that, you know, what will I do eating this mango? You know, my life is so horrible. You know, if I eat this mango, I'll remain strong and youthful, and then my life will be long, and then people will exploit, and I'll be continuing this miserable life for a long time. You know, what's the use? So this mango should be given to king. So she went to king and then gave the mango, and then king saw the mango and he understood the whole situation, and he asked, you know, who gave you this mango? This is my commander-in-chief. And then he understood the whole situation, you know, how everything was. Yeah. So he developed so much renunciation. He developed so much disgust with the relationships and all these things, you know, material, that he developed renunciation, you know, vairagya in his heart. And he even composed one poem, 100 verses on the renunciation. And then he gave up whole kingdom and he went to forest. No, I don't want to deal with all these things. So he went to forest. And there, he is performing austerities and, you know, living like a sadhu. Now he is having matted hair and he became like a pakka sadhu. He was, one day he was sitting under one big, huge banyan tree. And he put his poem somewhere on the branch. And then he went to take a bath. Now this news was spread everywhere that this king was very powerful and he was having influence all over India. Now he has become mendicant. So one of his nephew was also king in some small province. So he heard that news and he also developed renunciation. So he said, he's such a big king, you know. He did this, and I'm pretty small fellow, you know, small king of one region, and I am attached to all these things. What is the use of all these things? I also become Mandika. So he also became Mandika. He also went to forest. And then he happened to go to the same tree where this person, the king, had kept his poem and then went for God. So this banyan tree is huge, you know, it has many trunks. So he didn't know that the, so this person, this another king, his king's nephew, also came. He was also Mandika that one. And he said, oh, this is a nice place. And he sat down there. And he said, I'll make this place as my place of meditation, you know, my bhajan kuti. And then after some time, the king comes. Now he's Mandika. And they both happened to see each other. But they couldn't recognize them, each other. Because of, you know, now their appearance is changed and like that. They couldn't recognize. But then they started fighting. Why? That person says, you know, I came to this tree first. And see, this is the proof. I have hanged my poem here. You know, I came here first. And the other person said, no. I didn't see that. I came here first. I will stay here. And he says, no, I will stay here. You go away. So like that, they both were fighting. And the fighting grew bigger and bigger, you know, and they both are fighting. For one tree. And then that noise was heard by some lady in the forest. You know, she was living there. And she came. And she started solving the problem between these two. And she said, you know, what are you doing? You know, you both are sage. You know, you both are mendicants and you're fighting. You know, you haven't heard one king, you know, our king. You know, such a big king. He renounced whole kingdom and became mendicant. And you are fighting for this one tree. And you know, even that his king's nephew also renounced. And he also became mendicant. And you are fighting for one tree. What shame on you, you know, you are mendicant. And okay, you know, this person is old, but you are young, you know, why are you fighting? Just give up, you know. So they both felt, you know, this lady is talking about me only, you know. So they then, you know, departed. So point is, you know, although they took a mendicant role, they became renounced, but that Kshatriya spirit was there, still. And it came out, you know, the provocations brought the Kshatriya spirit and they fought. So that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one shouldn't artificially take up one's other's duty, rather you perform your own duty, even that is performed imperfectly. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about provocations. And he strongly recommends that in Kali Yuga, provocations are very strong. The Shastra also mentions that in Kali Yuga, five things are varjit, prohibited. Ashwalambham, Gavalambham, Ashwamedham, Gavalambham, Sanyasam, Kalapaitrikam, Devarena, Sutotpatim, Kalo, Pancha, Vivarjati. So these five things are prohibited in Kali Yuga. What are these things? Offer horse in a sacrifice. That's first. Offer a cow in a sacrifice. That's the second thing. Then sannyasam. Take up sannyas order of life in Kali Yuga. That is also prohibited. And phala paitrikam. Offering oblations of flesh to the forefathers. That is also prohibited. And the fifth one, begetting children in brother's wife, in the womb of brother's wife. So these five things are prohibited. Sannyas also said in Kali Yuga one should not take sannyas. And here in Prabhupada purport, we hear, and Mahaprabhu also mentions, that sannyas era alpa chidra sarva loka gaya. That if sannyasi commits a little mistake, little fault, will be magnified by public very widely, and that can bring infamy and injustice in society. And it's natural, you know, for example, a big person in our society, for example, president, everyone's eyes are on that person. What is he doing? What is he talking? You know, so if something awkward thing he does, you know, or something irrelevant spoken by him, whole nation will speak about that, you know, immediately. So like that, sannyas position is like that, very highly positioned person, and very well respected, and everyone look upon them to learn from them and follow their footsteps. So if they commit some mistakes, then it's very unfortunate situation. You know, everyone will criticize, and it will bring bad name to the whole religion. You know, so that's why in Kali Yuga especially, provocations are very, very strong. Every day, every moment, everywhere, we can encounter a lot of provocations that can pull us away from devotional service and make us fall down. And that's why, to be on safe side, one shouldn't take sannyas out of life unless they are very serious and sincere, as Prabhupada mentions. Unless they are very serious and sincere, one should not take up sannyas out of life. So why it is said like that? And how to deal with it? We'll talk about that a little bit. In 6th canto, Parikshit Maharaj, when Sukadeva Goswami was speaking about Ajami, so he mentions this thing. Parikshit Maharaj mentioned that how these sinful people will get liberated. Because everyone is sinning day in and day out. And then it looks like everyone eventually go to hell and suffer a lot. So how to be saved from this thing? How these sinful people can be saved? So Parikshit Maharaj said, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that by prayaschita, you have committed sins. So by prayaschita, one can be purified, one can be saved. But then Parikshit Maharaj thought about it and he said, no, prayaschit will not work. Because if we see a thief who gets caught and then he goes to jail and then he suffers, so that kind of suffering is also called prayaschit. But he, as soon as he comes out, even in jail also he thinks, you know, only so many years left and then I will again, you know, start my own business, you know. So he comes out of jail and then, you know, again he starts his stealing business. So prayaschit won't work. So what to do? This is not the answer I want, Parikshit Maharaj said. So then Sukadeva Goswami mentioned, yes, one need knowledge. That what is right and what is wrong. If one has that knowledge and he knows the consequences of doing right and wrong, then he will be refrained. He will be away from sinful activities. And Parikshit Maharaj didn't agree to that also. That we see that, you know, even knowledge fades sometimes. That although we know that this is wrong, but you are pushed to do wrong things. Isn't it? That happens to us also sometimes. Right? Once I read in the news that one lady was convicted for stealing spoons from coffee bar. And judge was surprised, you know. And then this lady is not a thief, you know. I mean, she is having good job and, you know, nice, well-situated lady, you know, this society, sober job, and well-dressed, well-mannered. But she told judge that, you know, see, it's not that I don't have money to buy spoons. You know? I have big house and a lot of property and this and that. But something within me impels, you know. Sometimes, you know, I can't control, you know. I saw the spoon and then I felt like stealing and then I put it in my purse, you know. So that proclivity, she was carrying from past impressions, from past lives, you know. So that stealing propensity, couldn't get rid of it. So, yeah, this happens, you know. So even with devotees this happens. That even we know, yes, this is not good, you know. I know this shouldn't be done, but that push is there from inside that you end up, you know, giving up to bad activities. So Parikshit Maharaj also mentioned that no, this answer also not. I won't accept it because knowledge also sometimes doesn't help. And he gives. Sudhya Goswami gives one more level up the answer. That he says, yes, it is because of lack of austerities. If person is austere, then the knowledge will be retained. The knowledge will come to help. So austerity is very, very much required for that knowledge to come to our aid in the time of provocations. Austerity is required, Sri Goswami mentions. So even one person, if one is liberated, Bhagavad Gita and Krishna mentions that even a liberated person should not give up austerities. There are three things he mentions. Yajna, Dana and Tapa. So even one is liberated person, still he shouldn't give up these three things. So what to speak of conditioned souls like us, practicing devotees like us, you know, at no cost we should give up these three things. So austerities are very good, and one should perform. So this austerity will help us. When we fail in time of provocations, that we think that, you know, I shouldn't be doing, and you know, we become victims and we commit those bad activities, and our knowledge runs away from our consciousness, you know, because of lack of austerities. So we should raise our bar a little bit up, you know, and introduce more austerities in our life. And what are these austerities? Austerities basically austerities of mind. That mind only wants to take easy time, easy situations, and be comfortable. And we notice that, you know, when we are very comfortable, we are less inclined, we are less enthusiastic, and very less encouraged in Krishna consciousness. So little bit uncomfort, out of your comfort zone, to be out of your comfort zone little bit, is always good. And one should keep oneself outside of comfort zone. So mind won't like that. But one should give that austerity to the mind. And what are the austerities of mind? As per Bhagavad Gita, there are five things mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Let me recall.
Simplicity,
yes. First one is satisfaction. So one should be satisfied with whatever they have in their life. One shouldn't over-endeavor. Whatever comes to them by its own accord, one should be happy and satisfied. So that is also austerity of mind. One shouldn't do atyaha. So that's first one. Second one is simplicity. And how does Prabhupada define simplicity? It connects to preaching. One should be so simple that he shouldn't be shy, he shouldn't be afraid of revealing truth even to his enemies. So basically, not being duplicitous, that is called simplicity. And the third one, maunam. Prabhupada mentions, translate maunam as it doesn't translate exactly as a silence. What is that verse? gravity. Prabhupada translates that monam as a gravity. That one should be grave. And in other places, he mentions maunam means being silent. And what is real silence? Always talk about Krishna. So don't agitate your mind with all the material things, things of this material world. But rather, talk about Krishna. So that will make your mind peaceful and happy. So that is actually real silence. So then satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, then Atma Vinigraha, self-control, that means. That is also austerity of mind. Don't let your senses go wild in sense gratification. One should control their senses. And then fifth one is purification of one's existence. Prabhupada connects that also to preaching Krishna consciousness. So ultimately, if you in our Krishna consciousness, if you translate this austerity of mind, then according to Prabhupada's teachings, what is that? Preaching. Preaching is austerity for mind. So that is how we perform our austerities. So when we are engaged in preaching, everything nicely falls in place. And then we will be safe in front of provocations of age of Kali. So yes, coming back to this past time, then Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that, you know, one should perform austerities. So then knowledge will be retained when you need the most. When Parikshit Maharaj heard that, then he questioned that as well. So then Sukadeva Goswami takes one more level up. And then he mentions, yes, that austerity is also like, you know, fire. If there is a grass, you lit grass. And then the grass will burn nicely. Everything is burnt. But what is not burnt? The roots underneath. Right? And then when next monsoon comes, water goes in, roots will again fructify. Seeds will again fructify, and then grass will come out again. So the proclivities to commit sin is not been destroyed. Even by austerities, even by knowledge, and even by prayaschita, the proclivity will remain. So how to get rid of them, those proclivities? How to burn those roots? And that is by Krishna consciousness. That is by bhakti. Then he brings that topmost level. Yes. So by bhakti, one can uproot proclivities and all this sin they have committed and their reactions. Everything is burned by bhakti. So yes, this is how we should deal with provocations offered in the age of Kali. I tell one more story, that how one should be careful even in our devotional life, you know, within our bhakti, our day-to-day life, our day-to-day dealings. It can be so tricky that we even don't recognize that, you know, we are heading in some wrong direction. And then until we see the reaction of our actions, we will be surprised. No, that shouldn't be done. That shouldn't have been done. There was one person. He is a sannyasi. And one day he desired that, I want to feed all the Vaishnavas in the town. All the sadhus in the town. And there were a lot of sadhus in the town. So he said, but I don't have money, I am sannyasi, I don't have wealth. So he was thinking like that, he was desiring. And then he happened to see one young girl died. And she was from rich family. Unmarried young girl died. And then her father cremated her. Buried. Cremation is buried is under the ground, right? Her father buried her with a lot of gold and jewelry. So this sannyasi happened to see that. And then he got idea. Oh, I want to feed the sadhus. I don't have money, but I know where the money is. You know. So he planned that in the night I will go to that graveyard and dug up that graveyard and take out that gold. So he went to night and then he started digging. And then after some time, one voice spoke, that that girl, in the form of ghost, she spoke to him, that what are you doing, you know. And then this person was afraid, this sadhu, this sannyasi, he was afraid. And then, he mentioned everything, you know, what he wanted to do and why he wants, and what he is doing and why he wants to do that. So this girl replied, but you don't have to do this, you know. I will give you another option. You go to my father and tell him that under my bed, remove that flooring, and then I have kept some jewelry there. I have kept hidden. So you ask my father, he will give you. But don't do this. So this sannyasi was happy and he went there. And then he presented whole thing to his father, her father. And then father checked. And he found jewelry there. So father was surprised. Oh, even I didn't know. How come this sannyasi knows? So must be true. No? So let this jewelry be given to him. So this sannyasi got all the jewelry. And now he organized big feast and then invited all the sadhus and served everyone. But fortunately or unfortunately, a lot of sadhus remained hungry. He couldn't feed everyone. So he was feeling bad. And he said, now I have to organize again. But now wealth is gone. I don't have money. What to do? But now he knows where the money is. So he again went to that graveyard and started digging another night. You know? And then voice spoke again. So this time it was too much. You know, he practically, you know, took the girl out and then, you know, started searching and taking all the jewelry and everything. And this girl spoke to him that you have crossed the limit. You shouldn't be doing this. And she cursed him that you will take birth again next time. And then since you have touched me, you will unite with me next life again. And then he happened to be taken birth again. And do you know who this person is? He's a very famous personality. He has written Krishna Karna Vaita. Bilwa Mangal Thakur. So this was the past life of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. So he happened to take birth again as a Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And that girl becomes Chintamani. So yes, the point is even in spiritual life, you know, sometimes we go overboard on the name of devotional service and we don't think deeper, you know, what are the consequences of these things. So one should be very careful. Maya can offer provocations even in disguised within our devotional atmosphere, devotional community. But one should be very careful. And yes, we may fail in our devotional life, but there is no reason for being discouraged and discontinuing. For example, we might have done so many bad things in our pre-devotional life. Right? Now we have become devotee and we have taken resolution. Yes, I won't commit these things. I am refraining from all these things. But provocations are so strong in Kali Yuga and our conditionings are like that. It may come up and we may fail. Then what? You switch back to the previous non-devotional life? Is that the solution? No. You better get up and then continue. And then you deal with it. So it is said, my Guru Maharaj mentioned recently, I heard, that you have a lot of things to do in your spiritual life. You want to do so many things and you embark in many things, different projects and different endeavors. And we fail. Many times we fail.
still you shouldn't be discouraged. Why? Because the least thing you have gained in your failure is humility. Right? If not many things, the least thing you have gained is humility in your failure. So that's a very beautiful point actually. No? Humility is the highest thing we want to gain in spiritual life. Right? But that we can gain even in failure. That one will think, you know, why have I failed? You know, I'm so much attached to these things. I haven't done perfectly, or I'm very proud, or I'm very envious, and so on and so forth. You know, so that those things you will look into that. You know, why you have failed, and that will bring humility. That next time I won't. I'll be more careful. You know? So even in failure, least thing you will gain is humility. And you should be happy about that. You know, I have advanced in my failure also. So there is no point being discouraged and give up devotional service and go to pre-devotional activities. Pre-devotional life activities, you know, simple life. No. And this will happen to each and every one of us. We see in our congregation that, you know, among us, that some devotee, one person becomes devotee and then he takes up Krishna consciousness, the sadhana, bhakti, and then he progresses. And within short time, or let's say some time, you know, they come to the point, you know, quickly they grab everything, you know, and then they came to one level, and then they struggle after that point. Right? For all of us, the same story. So we make very quick advancement in certain portion of our life. And then at one point we hit, and then it's very hard. It's a real struggle, you know, to move forward. So this will come to each and every devotee's life. Why we have progressed very quickly in that time? Because we have done those things already in our previous life. And then we are being faced to that thick wall. And then we hit that thick wall, and then yes, now I have to break this wall and jump and, you know, go over. So that is very hard. And so everyone will hit that wall one day or another. You know? So no point. You know, when you hit the wall, okay, now I can't go beyond, you know, just go back. Bilal Mangal Thakur, for example, same thing happened to him. Right? So he dealt with that lust. And Chintamani's strong words will wake him up, and then he renounced, and then he became sadhu, right? And he was wandering, and he was heading towards Vrindavan for his life to be served in Krishna consciousness. But then he hit the wall again, that thick wall, in form of what? The woman. Again he saw that woman, and then he desired to unite with him. And then he ended up poking his eyes, right? So he dealt with that provocation, that he broke that wall, and then again then he continued his devotional service. And then Krishna gave him darshan, and then he became pure devotee. So yes, case to case, is person to person. It's not that, you know, we take that literal example of Bilal Mangal Thakur and we poke our eyes. So don't take it literally. But yes, point is, every one of us will hit that thick brick wall in our life. But we shouldn't be discouraged. Even in those failures, we'll gain humility. And with guidance of Shastra, with guidance of devotees and Guru, we have to break that wall and continue in our devotional service. So this is how we deal with provocations of Kali Yuga in our life. So here I conclude, being Pakhandi, being Sannyasi, and provocations of Kali Yuga and how to deal with that we discussed today. If anyone has any questions, comments, corrections, please do so. Yes, please.
Thank you very much, Master. question regarding this story. Bhasya, Viva Mangala, so sometimes, especially in the temple atmosphere, the Mayas really suffer.
Yes.
Like, so what are the signs that we're overstepping the line and our devotional service actually turns into something else?
Yeah. So that already we have discussed that knowledge is required and to for that knowledge to help us, austerities are required. That is also not enough. One should be sincerely engaged same time in devotional service. So that will, this will help us. This will save us time to time. And of course, devotees and gurus. Guru is also there, and devotees association also there. So Lord, within our heart, give us intelligence. He will give us direction. Say, don't go for that. So that is my.
Then there's also another voice in the heart. Is simple.
Yeah, yeah. That I already mentioned. Yeah, that will happen. That will happen. But then that good voice from Paramatma. We'll subdue that other one. What did we are doing our things? Being austere, having knowledge, and performing our devotional duties nicely. Yes.
Thank you very much. The austerity brings pride. How do they do that?
Prabhupada says even pauper is proud of his penny. So even beggar is proud, even if he has little thing, you know, he is proud.
Austerity
is bring pride. So anything can bring pride. You know, not only austerity, anything can bring pride. You know. Even silly things can bring pride. You know. I am good singer, you know. But only you think you are good singer, but ask others, you know. How nice singer you are, you know. Then your pride will go away. So, if you think your austerity, you are excellent in your austerities, and then see around you and find someone who is better than you, then pride will disappear. So, one should be careful. Yes, please.
What are the other options besides opening up your eyes?
That I mentioned is case to case, and what kind of anathas you are dealing with that represent that thick wall. What kind of anatha is that? Difference, you know, in case of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, it was prominent, lust.
We all have.
Yeah, it's case to case. It's a matter of counseling with your guru and those devotees whom you take guidance from, and reveal your heart and take their guidance. So it's not general answer to that. Anything else? We end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Like you were saying austerity. So like some austerities like yagya, like chanting, doing harinam, or like just sitting and doing austerity.
All the austerities in Krishna consciousness culminates to what I mentioned. The culminates to one thing, preaching. So preaching is an austerity for us, because it's very difficult. Who else, you know, apart from devotees, who else in the world is desiring to give knowledge to others? No one. No one has that kind of feeling. No one has that kind of desire. So only devotees do that. To do that is not easy. To go and book distribution, to do harinam, sankirtan, to study and teach others, it's not easy. It's difficult. So that difficulty.